Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, February 25th, 2020, Psalm 23.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and for your matchless grace. We thank you for the privilege of assembling in freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Psalm 23 is written by David at the lowest point of his life. His beloved son, Absalom, has joined forces with others in Israel to drive his father out of the palace, remove him as king of the southern kingdom. And this is the greatest king ever in Israel's history. He has left everything behind. He has nothing except the clothes on his back and a few faithful and loyal friends who left with him. And they are in the high desert region south of Jerusalem. This is a time of great persecution in David's life, and David realizes that there's a very good chance that he will die during this time as well. He will cover that in Psalm 23. And so what I am going to read from the Voice of the Martyr certainly introduces the persecution that believers face. David, of course, writing the 23rd Psalm, looks at persecution from the viewpoint of a winner believer, a spiritually mature believer, a believer who is occupied with Jesus Christ, a believer who understands the entire concept of the shepherd-sheep relationship, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who keeps on shepherding him. Whether it was in times of prosperity in the palace or whether it was in time of persecution and adversity in the Absalom Revolution, he left behind all of his material things and wealth, but he has all of his great spiritual wealth of Bible doctrine in his soul and the problem-solving devices. And therefore, David is, well, Psalm 23 reveals what David's thinking is. He is sharing the happiness of God. He is occupied with the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, I cannot and do not lack for anything. Now, from the human viewpoint, everybody would look at that and say he lacks of everything. And David says, I cannot and do not lack for anything. And this is at the lowest point of his life. And then this also introduces what we're studying in Sunday, in idolatry. You see, much of the world still operates in idolatry. This is about a pastor in India. At 9 p.m. on February 7, 2016, Pastor Kabir finished leading a prayer service at Savior's Church in the heart of one of India's slums. He then left his congregation of 40 believers and boarded a bus to travel home to his wife, Ishida, and their two daughters, just as he has done every Sunday evening. This time, however, four men followed the 37-year-old pastor home. The men, all members of a youth militia called Hindu Yuva Vahini, stopped the bus 3 miles from Pastor Kabir's home, dragged him off the bus, and kidnapped him. They took him to an old empty building where they planned to force him to deny Jesus Christ on video. Like other Hindu nationalist groups, Hindu Yuva Vahini seeks to forcibly reconvert those who leave Hinduism. The men surrounded the pastor, brutally kicking and punching him for 15 minutes. One of them repeatedly hit him on the head with the handle of a knife. As the pastor lay on the floor, bleeding and writhing in pain, one of his attackers started recording him with the video camera on his smartphone. Another man ordered Pastor Kabir to say that he would no longer follow Jesus Christ and that he would return to Hinduism and return to the worship of idols again. I am going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ only, Pastor Kabir replied. I am not going to worship idols. I am going to serve Jesus Christ. The men again beat the pastor and demanded that he deny Christ. And again he refused. And the pattern of demands, refusals, and beatings continued for another 90 minutes until the men finally grew tired and frustrated with Pastor Kabir's stubbornness. You're supposed to be a Hindu, they shouted at him. You're converting everybody to Christianity. Tomorrow, if I see you again holding a Bible and doing this, I will kill you. And then they burned Pastor Kabir's Bible and they let him go. One of the attackers put Kabir on his motorcycle, took him about a mile away and told him to get off the bike. Disoriented, bleeding, and in severe pain, he called a friend to pick him up and take him home. God spared my life. And so I forgive those who persecuted me. I will not go to the police station. I will not get any case on them. But what I am doing presently in proclaiming Christ, I am going to do double work for the Lord. When Kabir returned home around 11:30 p.m., his wife and daughters were shocked to see him bloodied and in pain. I was scared, Ishida, his wife, admitted. Our children, both of them, thought, God has saved my father's life. And they were grateful to the Lord. Still in pain, the next morning, Pastor Kabir decided to go to the hospital, where he learned that he had a ruptured eardrum in his left ear, a tear in his right ear, and a fractured skull, and that he would need multiple surgeries. I felt like my ears were gone, he said, and there was no sound, and my head was very heavy. As Pastor Kabir recovered from his injuries, a friend discovered that the attackers had posted the video of the incident on a closed Hindu Yuva Vahini Facebook page. They edited the video to make it appear that Pastor Kabir had reconverted to Hinduism. A pastor's network that supports Pastor Kabir reported the video to the authorities, and the four men were eventually arrested. I pray for them every day, Pastor Kabir said, that they might be saved, that they might believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. If I see them, I will go and tell them that God loves them and that I'm praying for you. Pastor Kabir has pastored some of India's poorest Christians for 12 years, and he had never experienced persecution before this attack. Now, having stood boldly for Jesus Christ in an attack by radical Hindus, he is ready to do more for God's kingdom. I have grown in my faith, and I will do double the work, he said a month after the attack. If it happens again in the future, I'm not scared. Whatever God wants, let him do it. If I am here, I will keep doing the work for the Lord. If I die, I go to his kingdom. Pastor Kabir has been faithful to his word. His church has grown to 60 members. His outreach ministry has doubled, and he now ministers in two villages. Earlier this year, Voice of the Martyrs gave him a bicycle to help him keep up with his growing ministry. Like Pastor Kabir, Ishida, his wife, knows that God will be with her family if they face more persecution. There is persecution in the Christian life. So I know that God is there with us, she said. I am not scared because he is always with us, and he is going to protect us, and he is strengthening us. The couple's daughters also have gained a new perspective on their faith since the attack. Whatever happens, God is here, said 15-year-old Vanya. I am not going to put my faith down. I am happy that my dad is safe. I am happy with my father's faith, added 13-year-old Myra. I want my father to do more work. We are not going to lose our faith. We are going to serve the Lord in the future. Pastor Kabir asks all of you to pray for his family and for his continued healing. He also requests prayer for his attackers and for the very poor people who live in the area where his church is located. Pastor Kabir is committed to pastoring and serving the poor, and he is grateful for the persecution he has faced because it has deepened his relationship with his Lord. In the Christian life, there is persecution, Pastor Kabir said. Now God has allowed me to taste it. Psalm 23. David is tasting it. Psalm 23, a song of David. Verse 1, the Lord is the one who keeps on shepherding me. I cannot and I do not lack for anything. This is the grace of God toward the believer. David is a man after the Lord's own heart. David loves the Lord Jesus Christ. David knows the shepherd. David understands the whole shepherd-sheep relationship. He's been a shepherd, a responsible, noble shepherd. And he understands totally that the Lord Jesus Christ is the shepherd of the believer. He is the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. David knows him, David loves him, and David knows that in this lowest point in his life, the Lord is shepherding him. The grace policy of God includes logistical grace. Logistical grace, blessing, and support, which God gives to all believers, winners and losers. David's a winner. He's in this logistical grace of God that keeps him alive in the middle of the devil's world. The reason why you're here tonight alive is because of logistical grace. You're here alive because of logistical grace. All believers that are living are here by logistical grace. Winners, losers. The good, the bad, the ugly. But David is receiving logistical grace, and God is keeping him alive at this lowest point in his life. David understands he could very easily die, and he's going to cover that in verse 4. As he talks about the valley, you have in your Bible the valley of the shadow of death, but there's only one construct there. There's one construct. It's the valley of, and then one word, the valley of the death shadow. The valley of the death shadow. And David realizes that there's a very good chance he will go through his valley of the death shadow. He knows that Absalom and all of the forces that drove him out are searching for him to kill him. He knows that. And there's a good chance that he may die. He's not bitter. He's not angry. He knows the Lord is his shepherd. He knows he's under logistical grace. He knows that he has greater grace blessings as a winner believer. And he is totally with great spiritual prosperity. God's grace is sufficient to meet the needs of every single believer. God will continue to provide everything necessary to keep you alive in the devil's world and give you an opportunity to advance to maturity and to glorify him to the maximum. Without logistical grace, no believer can survive in the devil's world. Logistical grace gives every believer equal opportunity to fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for his life. And we're only here a short time. We're only here, we're a vapor. And God has a plan for our life. And we're here to fulfill God's plan, God's will, and God's purpose for our life in the short time while we're here. And logistical grace is given to all believers. Why? Because every believer has been imputed with the righteousness from God, establishing the grace pipeline. And down that grace pipeline from the justice of God to imputed righteousness comes logistical grace. Salvation grace, yes. And then logistical grace to all believers. Keep you alive in the devil's world so that you can choose for God and His Word and crack the maturity barrier. And when you crack the maturity barrier, then God sends to the winner believer greater grace blessings. Greater grace blessings in time. Greater grace blessings for all eternity. Logistical grace gives every believer equal opportunity to fulfill God's plan, God's will, God's purpose for his life. David is emphasizing the grace of God to him in the face of this great disaster, the Absalom revolution. This psalm was written when David and a few faithful men were all alone out in the desert, the high desert, south of Jerusalem. He had been driven by his beloved son Absalom from the palace. He had to leave everything behind. He sat around the campfire with nothing except the clothes that were on his back. And he wrote Psalm 23 through the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. He had lost everything from the human viewpoint. Everything was left behind. And this was the lowest moment of his life. In David's greatest helplessness. And he understands he's a sheep. He's totally helpless. As sheep, we are all totally helpless. All that we have and all that we are is because of the shepherd, Jesus Christ. And David's greatest helplessness, the grace of God, did more for that believer than almost anyone in the Old Testament. The Lord is the one who keeps on shepherding me. I cannot and do not lack for anything. Now, this is true for all believers, but only the winner believer understands it and appreciates it and uses it. It's true for the loser believers too. It's true for the carnal reversionistic believers, but they don't appreciate it. They have no capacity to appreciate or understand it, and they never utilize it. But it's true for all believers. Logistics always plays a very important and dramatic part in warfare. But logistics plays an even greater part in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. So a couple of points. One, every believer is alive today because of logistical grace. You're sitting here tonight. You're physically alive. You may not look like it. Questionables, but you're here, you're alive, and that is because of logistical grace. And I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, don't have to look very far in your life, and you reflect in your life up to this point, and you have seen how many times in your life you could have died. You could have been gone. And you're here. And that was logistical grace. You went through all kinds of things. People understand. People know that. A lot of you know that more about me than I know about it. Nobody even wants to ride with me anymore. But the Lord could have taken me home many, 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 many times. Even when I was Dallas Seminary and driving home from Dallas to Spokane, I wanted to get away from seminary so bad, I went nonstop from Dallas to Spokane. No sleep, just drove straight through. And fell asleep so many times while I was driving. Going 70 miles an hour, maybe 80 miles an hour. Passing semis, sound asleep. Waking up as a bridge abutment was just about ready to hit it. That was when I was in seminary. Some of you have gone hunting with me and saw me drive off the road. Drive off the highway, hit the reflector, head down the hill. Thought for sure that Pastor Olson was in heaven. Drove down the hill. It woke me up when I hit the reflector, by the way. I fell asleep, hit the reflector. Went down the hill, drove along the side of the hill. They were all out looking. I walked out. They thought for sure I was in heaven. I had a big smile on my face. Said, anybody want to ride with me? See, I couldn't get Derek to ride with me. But he did get in after that, which that shows you how stupid he was. I've been on hunting trips on a cliff, and I had the wrong boots. You had to have rubber-soled boots that would grip the rocks, and I had steel shank boots that were stiff. And we were on the very crest at about 11,000 feet, hunting mountain goats. You got to get up where they are. And I slipped. So I thought, well, I'll sit down because then my hunting pants would catch. No, I sat down and I went faster. And if I go over the edge, it's a 200-foot drop down on boulders. That far from the edge, I'm going pretty fast. There's a little lip like that. My boot hit it and stopped. My guide saw me, or he heard me. My guide heard me, turned around and watched me. And then the boot hit. And I looked at him, he goes... I said, I agree. I don't have the right boots, Mitch. I just don't have the right boots, you know. As soon as we can go down, let's go down. Without, you know, going 200 feet in 2 seconds or something like that. And then what? Colonel Horvath was with me, and Colonel Horvath says, yeah, Mitch, I'm with Pastor Olson. I want to go down too. And then there was a deer hunter with us in case we saw a deer, and deer hunter said, yeah, I want to go down too. But I look back, there's so many times, any of those times. I'm here teaching you. And what is it? Logistical grace. Logistical grace keeps you alive in the middle of the devil's world to carry out God's plan for your life. First thing Gene Yancey said to me when I drove off the road down the hill, he says, well, God still has a plan for your life here. Still has a job for you to do. I said, yeah. I guess he still wants me to teach the Bible. So every believer is alive today because of logistical grace. And you all can give your testimonies, I'm sure. The same thing. Every believer is alive today because of logistical grace. Two, logistical grace is defined as divine planning, divine support, divine provision, and divine blessing. Divine planning, divine support, divine provision, divine blessing for the execution of the plan of God. So that you might fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. That's why we're here. That's why you're here. You're here to fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. That's why you're here. And it's just a short time. This is why I'm here. There's only one reason for me to be here. Only one reason, and that is to study and teach you the Word of God. That's why I'm here. That's why the Apostle Paul was here. to study and teach the Word of God, and was the human author of much of the church age truth. And once he finished 2 Timothy, that was it. Once he finished 2 Timothy, God's plan for his life was over. And that's when he was executed. Nero had him executed. Because God's plan for his life was finished. He wasn't sick. He didn't have health problems. He was strong. He was only 70 years old. I've heard some of you say, this guy died, he was only 77. Shit. Paul was only 70. David was only 70. Jesus Christ was only 33. When God's plan for your life is over, that's it. And so there's a reason why you're here. God has a plan for your life. You're here to fulfill that plan. Logistical grace keeps you alive in the devil's world so you can do that. Paul could have died a whole bunch of times. There were people that had contract out to kill him. And he could have died many, many, many times. But logistical grace, God kept Paul alive so he could fulfill the plan that the Father had for him. He made some bad decisions on the way. God's will for him to go west to Rome and to Spain, and he made bad decisions, went east to Jerusalem, because that was his, that's where he grew up. That's where all his friends were. That's where emotionally, he had a lot of emotional ties there. But there was negative volition in Jerusalem. The doors were closed in Jerusalem. They didn't want to hear grace and truth. But the doors were open in Rome. The doors were open in Spain. God's will for him to go where the doors were open. Rome and Spain, go west. The doors were closed in Jerusalem. Paul got into reversionism. He got into reversionism. He could have died a number of times. The only way he wound up going to Rome, God had to put him in chains and take him to Rome as a prisoner. And that's when he wrote the prison epistles. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon. Perhaps the greatest of his works. Wrote those in prison, which we have great church age truth. What kept him alive? Logistical grace. Until he finished the plan. And that was the completion of 2 Timothy. So logistical grace is defined as divine planning, divine support, divine provision, and divine blessing for the execution of the plan of God, for the fulfillment of God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. Not your plan, will, and purpose for your life. God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. You see, you understand that if you understand God. When you get to know God and know the essence of God, you know that it's not your plans, it's God's plan. You know why? Because you know He's the sovereign God of the universe. He's the quarterback. All of you should have played football. Well, maybe not the gals. Although I've seen some gals, they make nose guard, nose tackles. Probably some pretty good ones. You ought to all play football. Why? Because the quarterback calls the play. God's the quarterback. That's the sovereignty of God. He calls the plays. You don't call the plays. He calls the plays. When you come to know God, you got that nailed down. It isn't your plan. You're not the quarterback. You don't call the plays. God calls the plays. And any great quarterback, he has control. We were taught that. And the quarterback, when I was in high school, the quarterback was my best friend. He was my best friend. We did all kinds of things together. And there would be guys in the huddle who were some friends of mine they wanted me to carry the ball. They would tell the quarterback, "Give it to Olsen, Olsen." And the quarterback, Heiser, would say, "Shut up! I'm the quarterback. You shut up." And I never said one thing. I didn't have to say anything because my pulling guards and tackles were doing all the talking. And then Bill would get mad. "Shut up! I'm the quarterback. I'll call the play." I smile at Bill. See, when you know God, it isn't your plan. It's God's plan. He has a plan for your life. And His plan is the best plan. It's the greatest plan. It's the only plan that's going has hooked up with it the highest and best of blessing, now and forever. His plan is the best plan. And it's the only plan if you want to be a winner and have the highest and best, now and forever. He calls the play. That's the sovereignty of God. He's the potter. We're the clay. When does the clay tell the potter what to do? You understand the sovereignty of God. His decisions are perfect. His plans are perfect. And He has a perfect plan for you. And we're here a short time to execute that plan. What keeps us alive so that we could do that? Logistical grace. Because the devil's the ruler of the world. Without logistical grace, we wouldn't be here. And there are guardian angels that you have assigned to you that have kept you alive and kept you alive and kept you alive all through your stupidity and kept you alive, and you're here. And when you die and you get your resurrection body and you're in heaven and your angels around you, He's going to beat the living crap out of you. So I haven't seen for sure that your resurrection body has crap, but might. I'll have to study a little bit more on those kind of things. 3. Logistical grace includes 3 factors: life support, blessing, and provision. 3 factors: life support, blessing, and provision. Number 1, life support. 1, logistical grace explains how and why we are alive every moment. Logistical grace explains how and why we are alive every moment. The only reason we are alive is because of logistical grace. The only reason we are alive is because of logistical grace. Three, we do not earn nor deserve it. There is nothing we can do to keep ourselves alive. There's nothing we can do to keep our... You know, you say, health food. Vitamins. Health food. That's what keeps me alive. Well, you know, I've heard all... I listen to guys that are 110 years old, and they say, "Well, the reason I'm alive is I smoke a cigar every day. The reason why I'm alive, I drink booze every day." No, that's not why they're alive. Some of you are going, see? That's not why they're alive. But you're not going to make your stick keep alive because you have health food. Now, doesn't mean you have to be stupid. Or that you take all the right supplements and so forth. I take supplements. My blood lipids were so horrible that the doctors told me, first of all, they said, you're pre-diabetic. You are going to have type 2 diabetes. You're on the verge of it right now. And you're going to have an effing heart attack. Because your blood lipids are horrible. Your cholesterol is off the charts. Your triglycerides are off the charts. Your LDL is way too high. Your HDL is way too low. Your ratio is ridiculous. My ratio was 666. That's when you know you're in trouble. And they tried to get me on cholesterol medication, and I tried about 3 or 4 different cholesterol medications and felt horrible. And I just finally told my doctor, I'm not taking any more cholesterol medication. And so I got a book by a cardiologist who was a very famous cardiologist. But he wrote a book on the Vita Nutrient Solution, the thing. And he dealt with the deal of cholesterol and triglycerides and bad cholesterol and good cholesterol. And I just started doing some of the things he said, and it turned it all the way around. Now my good cholesterol is high. My bad cholesterol has dropped way down. My ratio is excellent. Not in the sixes anymore. It's 4. Triglyceride dropped from 350 to 150. But I didn't want to be stupid about it. I want to keep studying and teaching the Word of God. And you can see, we've got a lot of people that are sick. Sick. Almost all of you, I lose you for a week at a time, 2 weeks at a time. You get sick and you're gone. Pastor Olson still studying and teaching, studying and teaching, studying and teaching. Now, that tells you another thing. I'm not kissing you either. And I'm not going to. So you just keep your little germs to yourself. And that's a constant prayer. God, I just need the health as a pastor to study day after day after day and teach and teach and teach. And I need the health to do that. Now, I don't need knees to teach. My knees are crappy. But I don't need knees to teach. I need the health to be able to sit in there and study and then come in here and teach. The only reason we're alive is because of logistical grace. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. Nothing you can do to keep yourself alive. Number 2, blessing. Blessing. 1, blessing is provided for every church-age believer, both winners and losers. This is logistical grace blessing. Logistical grace blessing is provided for every church-age believer, winners and losers. Every church-age believer receives salvation grace blessings, The 40 blessings of salvation, every church age believer receives logistical grace blessing. Winners, losers. Every believer, good, bad, and the ugly, we all receive logistical grace blessing. To keep us alive in the middle of the devil's world so that we choose, have an opportunity to choose for God and His Word. And grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and advance to spiritual adulthood. And then God can pour out greater grace blessings on the winner believer. Only the winner believer gets greater grace blessings for time and greater grace blessing for eternity. But we all get logistical grace blessing. Logistical grace blessing is provided for every church age believer, both winners and losers. Two, the justice of God sends life support and blessing to the indwelling righteousness of God in both winners and losers. The justice of God sends life support and blessing to the indwelling righteousness of God in both winners and losers. And that's grace. That's God's grace. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. That's God's grace. Now, the loser believer doesn't appreciate it. He has no capacity for it. Doesn't appreciate it. And make sure you don't confuse. Logistical grace is not greater grace. All believers receive logistical grace blessing. But logistical grace is not greater grace. That is for the winner believer who uses logistical grace, advances to spiritual maturity, and then God pours out greater grace blessings above and beyond anything you could ask or think in time and for all eternity. Three, you are alive only because of the grace of God, not because of anything you do. And here's the principle. Winner believers utilize logistical grace. Winner believers utilize logistical grace. However, loser believers coast on it, but never utilize it. Winner believers utilize logistical grace. However, loser believers coast on it and never utilize it. And then number three, divine provision. Divine provision. One, this is divine provision for every believer to execute God's plan for his life. This is divine provision for every believer to execute the plan of God. In the church age, which is where we're living, this grace provision includes a pastor teacher, the spiritual gift of pastor teacher. It includes God's ordained classroom, the local church. It includes the Word of God. It includes the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. All of this is divine provision. A pastor teacher, a local church, the Word of God, the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Now, with this divine provision, if you have positive volition and humility, respect, for the authority of God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it, then you will advance to spiritual maturity. You will become a winner believer. And you will glorify God to the maximum. You will become an invisible hero. All it takes is positive volition and humility. That's it. Because God has given you the divine provision, the pastor, the local church, the Word of God, the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. All it takes on your part is positive volition, humility. And you'll advance to maturity. You will glorify God to the maximum. So all of that was under point three. Logistical grace includes three factors: life support, blessing, and provision. Point four, the basis of logistical grace is the holiness of God. The basis of logistical grace is the holiness of God, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice. That's the holiness of God. Let's amplify that one. God is infinite virtue, infinite integrity, and infinitely fair. Infinite virtue, infinite integrity, and infinitely fair. Two, at salvation, the righteousness from God, the righteousness that comes from God is imputed to the believer by the justice of God, establishing the grace pipeline. At the moment of faith in Christ, the justice of God imputes to you the righteousness of God, establishing this grace pipeline. And down that grace pipeline comes, first of all, salvation blessings. 40 salvation blessings to all of us. And then logistical grace blessing to all of us. Because of that righteousness from God that was given to all of us at the moment of salvation. Three, the righteousness of God demands logistical grace blessing from the justice of God, whether we succeed or fail as Christians. The righteousness of God demands logistical grace blessing from the justice of God, whether we succeed or fail as Christians. This comes to all believers. All believers. And like I said, the winner believer utilizes logistical grace, but the loser believer coasts on it and never utilizes it. Four, this is why God provides logistical grace to all believers, winners and losers. Christians who fail to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills still have the imputed righteousness of God. And this means God will support and sustain you regardless of how deserving or undeserving you are. Five, there are three results from the imputation of divine righteousness to the believer. Three results from the imputation of divine righteousness to the believer. The first, justification. The verb is dikaiō, declare righteous. And from that verb dikaiō is dikaiōsune, righteousness. And dikaios, righteous. Justification is God declaring us to be righteous. How can He do that? Because He imputes His righteousness to us at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. He imputes His righteousness to us and declares us to be righteous. Justification, declared righteous. How? By faith alone and Christ alone, apart from any and all works. So the first result, justification. God imputes His righteousness to us and looks at His righteousness imputed to us and declares us to be plus R. And we receive instant justification. Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, declared righteous by faith, faith in Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Two, second result, God love now changes from impersonal love to personal love. Now he can love us with infinite personal love, which he couldn't do as unbelievers, because personal love is directed toward perfect righteousness, absolute righteousness. God the Father has always loved the other members of the Godhead with infinite personal love because they are absolute righteousness. And God the Father loves all believers in all of human history with infinite personal love because he imputes his righteousness to us at salvation. So God's love changes from impersonal love to personal love toward his righteousness imputed to us. And now he loves us with infinite personal love. And third, we receive logistical grace blessings. We receive logistical grace now. So, five was there are three results from the imputation of divine righteousness to the believer. Justification, love changing to infinite personal love, and logistical grace. Six, the indwelling righteousness of God is the recipient of all life support and all blessing, all logistical, all blessing from God. The indwelling righteousness of God is the recipient of all life support and all blessing from God, comes from his justice to imputed righteousness. Seven, down the grace pipeline from the justice of God to imputed righteousness in us, God has found a way to administer logistical grace blessing to every believer. Down the grace pipeline from the justice of God to imputed righteousness in us, God has found a way to administer logistical grace blessing to every believer. And David understands this. He understands this. The Lord is the one who keeps on shepherding me. I am totally helpless, David. David said, I am totally helpless. I had to flee for my life with the Absalom revolution. But the Lord is the one who keeps on shepherding me. I cannot and do not lack for anything. He totally understands grace and that he is totally helpless, but logistical grace, he's alive. As he's writing Psalm 23, he's alive under logistical grace support. He realizes when we get down to verse 4, there's a good chance that he will travel through his valley of the death shadow. But we will all travel through the valley of the death shadow. Everyone in here. Unless the rapture, don't come to my office and say, well, you know, it could be the rapture. Yeah, that's true. I understand that. But apart from the rapture generation, we will all go through our own valley of the death shadow. We will. And if you, and a lot of you are, stay positive and have humility. And you advance to spiritual maturity. You're going to love it. You're going to absolutely love it. Because you are totally understand that the shepherd is holding your hand and going to take you right through. As you go through that valley of the death shadow, Jesus Christ, the shepherd, will go with you. You won't fear any evil, any distress, any adversity, anything that's involved with dying. You won't fear it at all because the shepherd is with you. And you know the shepherd. You know the shepherd. You love the shepherd. He's with you. He's holding your hand. And he's going through the valley of the death shadow with you. And you will enjoy the journey. And for some of you, it will be a long journey. And for others of you, it will be a very short trip. But we will all go through the valley of the death shadow. And it'll be great. And I hope through your humility and positive volition that that's true for all of you. It was true for David. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. We thank you for the privilege of fellowshipping in the Word. We ask that God the Holy Spirit will challenge us, that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.